Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Did you pack those peanuts for the ride, everybody? Welcome to the Football Ramble! International football has finally returned, you lucky things. It's Wednesday, 15th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, one and all, to a wonderful Wednesday. And thanks very much to friend of the Ramble, Rodri, for sending us today's intro line. I'm sure other Man City players are fans of the Ramble or are involved, but we know one of them could be.
Yeah. It's mad that Rodri got time to listen to us.
Yeah.
He's putting fires out all over the pitch.
Exactly.
Normally.
I mean, if you want to get to know people like Rodri and chat to them and contribute to the show and all the rest of it, get yourself over to patreon.com/footballramble.
It is a absolutely hustling and bustling and very enjoyable Discord community. Every single person that drops in there gets a little welcome message from me.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is nice, but people don't care as much as I hoped they would.
Right.
But it's still nice. And there's lots of chat going on. A lot of chat about NFL at the moment.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They also get a chance to get a backy from Pete on a bicycle around London. No one's taken him up on that offer yet.
Pete, who rode here on a line bike, which is charged by the minute, and then about 20 minutes after he arrived, realised he hadn't stopped it.
Yeah, so it was quite a chaotic. We got slightly earlier recording time then, so it was slightly more chaotic than I was expecting. And so I had to cycle my line back down the street, carrying a cup of coffee.
But you didn't let me do Marcus's job. You didn't have to do that.
No,
I didn't you chose to do that.
But I'm impressed though, because you're wearing shirt and blazer. You're looking splendid. I wouldn't have put you or pictured you on a bicycle turning up today.
No.
Once again, keep them guessing, Pete Donaldson, and we're going to keep people guessing as well, because no one would think we're going to talk about the FA Cup first round replays right now.
We will on international link.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have to talk about what's hot and what's relevant.
This is hot.
This is scalding, Jim Campbell.
What's hot is Horsham.
Yeah.
Well, far away, sir.
Yeah, they're not hot about them? They're not hot now.
Well, they've just been knocked out of the FA Cup. Yeah. So it's fair to say, second attempt and yet the first round.
So it's fair to say they've gone back to their freezing cold Arctic circle of
a place in the football.
Do you know what's hot? This is hot.
Oh my
goodness.
That is.
What is that?
Magic.
He just did a flame in the studio.
Yeah. Over the top to call it a flame. I mean, there was a little flame.
It was a little flame.
Tiny flame.
It looked like... I thought, it's International Week.
Yes.
We need the razzle dazzle. I'm bringing the razzle dazzle.
Again.
No, it's burned up now.
Say it again.
It's gone now.
Did you go via, like, magic shop?
A magic shop. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm serious.
You got any bangers?
Got any what?
Got any bangers?
Got any chewing gum that turns your tongue blue?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure. Always very spicy.
Yeah. He's got
one. When you pull one out, it snaps your finger.
Oh, nice.
Peter, you carry on like that, you're going to be on television soon.
Finally.
Indeed, yeah.
One last crack at the big time for Donny.
Absolutely right. Well, of course, Hawksham were on television.
They were.
Last night. It was the first ever game on terrestrial TV, but as Jim said, they lost. So they couldn't do it. And this was despite their good luck charm, the Hawksham fan group, the Lardy Army.
The Lardy Army.
Getting up to their old tricks again. And apparently they leave bars of lard around the opposition dugout for FA Cup games. You could see a few of them perched on top of the dugout.
It's a confusing calling card.
It is.
Well, I've been reading up on this. Link? So it happened back in the 90s. They used to they were called the Lard. I think it was the Lard and Lager Boys. It was the 90s.
I want to be in that game.
It was the
straight
90s,
away.
For crying out loud. But the they once sent, they used to send lard, yep, before they went to play a football match. Mm. They would post or send lard to the opposition. And apparently the chairman of Hungerford in the 90s received lard in a Tupperware box and opened it. And it said, this has been sent by the HFC APF. APF standing for the Anti-Polyunsaturated Faction. And unfortunately, the chairman was very fat.
Oh, no.
He took it as a personal insult, and it made it the thing even more hilarious for the Lager boys. But
he took it as a personal insult, so they stopped it. Oh, no, they didn't.
He complained to the chairman, Frank King, who then asked, who are these Lardy boys? And that's how the name stuck.
Oh, that's good. I quite like that origin story. To be honest with you,
These Lardy boys?
Who are these Lardy boys?
When you said, the chairman's quite fat, and I was thinking... Oh, no. And I'm glad actually he only got offended, because if you said and he saw it off quickly, that would have been...
You can't really eat lard like that, can you?
No,
I know.
Why hasn't there been a reappraisal of lard? Because butter came back, didn't it? After the margarine years.
Yeah.
Ghee's always out and about doing bits.
Ghee's very much the new kid on the block.
Mm.
I think
one for the heads.
Goose fat is where you really want to kind of spice things up.
So I thought lard was basically just for cooking with, really.
Yeah. Mm. Goose fat's what you want.
Yeah, what, for your roast potatoes?
All that business.
I actually use olive oil for my roast potatoes.
I know you do. It's why we don't come round.
That's why we've fallen out. It will never be rescued. But anyway, I'm just quite conscious that people who are now listening to this show for the very first time.
Yeah.
Mm. Might think, I don't mind it, I like the stuff, but is it a fucking football show or not?
Yeah, well, come on, have we not proved
and
that?
And the answer is no, please carry on.
It's as much a lard show at this point as it is a football show, if you drill down into it.
It is at the moment.
I mean, am I the only person that watched the kind of extended highlights of the game between Horsham and Barnsley? Or?
I was watching Lard Cam. It was like a red button exclusive.
I was keeping up with Current Affairs and saw that Lard Cameron was back. there we are.
He's a pig fat man, all. Yeah. Through and through.
Jimmy, fancy getting involved?
I do. There was a very, very enjoyable flag at the game that said simply, flag.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like. There's a lot going on. And Horsham looks a lovely place. I don't know much about it, but it's got a bit real, like, Wallace and Gromit vibe.
End of the line.
Based on what I can see from
the camera.
Just outside the camera. Of the stadium. I think it was a five-a-side pitch, actually.
It's the end of the line, Jim, or the start of the line. If you were in Horsham, you would say London's the end of the line.
Right.
Oh, so it's the end of a train. Because I would always say Portsmouth Harbour's the end of the line.
Well,
down south from London, you go in Portsmouth Harbour and that's it.
That's
you go
true.
Too far, you get wet, you've gone too far.
Look at this, Horsham events. November the 15th, crochet classes. That's at the Sussex Yarn Collection,
there
right?
There you go, right.
You got a walk and talk, a conversation starter project in Horsham Park. Just people walking around a park. A steak soiree at court.
Steak soiree?
At court.
Okay, yeah. Cooked in large.
Tai Chi. Tai Chi at Tanbridge House School. Belly dancing the same night. Open mic night at the Malt Shovel. Business networking at the Holbrook Club. And there's karate lessons at the karate club at Swindon Road. All on November 15th, guys.
That's a lot
tonight.
Going on. So do you think the karate clubs send lard to rival karate clubs?
Maybe. That would make it harder to connect, wouldn't it, if you're covered in lard?
It would, actually.
Tell you what, we'll be scattered at these events, so we'll see you there tonight.
I'm off to Horsham.
I think it makes sense. Elsewhere in the FA Cup, you see League 2 Crewe Alexandra beat League 1 Derby County at Pride Park.
Mm. Not a good season, Crewe.
Not to be confused with their previous stadium, of course, the baseball ground.
No, Jim would never confuse that.
No, but never, ever, ever.
It's a great win for Crewe.
They're having a good season, Marcus.
You can't deny it. You'd be foolish.
They're in the playoff conversation. They've started well. Courtney Baker-Richardson is having a good season, scoring a lot of goals. They're doing okay.
He's the guy who missed the game last season because he got injured playing Xbox.
Yeah, he did. And the explanation for that, the Xbox explanation for that, was confusing because He was playing Xbox, and we know that a lot of players get a lot of downtime in the afternoon, like to wind down, play video games, whatever, right? You're an Xbox man, you're a PS5 man, whatever.
They've probably got both, most of them, right? Let's be honest.
That's a good question, actually. I don't know.
I think you
quite tribal, isn't it?
Yeah, quite tribal.
I think you're one of the other gym.
They're only playing fucking Call of Duty and FIFA, so you may as well choose one.
Yeah.
Fortnite as well.
Do not get the PC version of EAFC this year.
But if I said to you, what part of the body do you think he injured himself playing Xbox? You would say
thumbs,
leg,
thumb or hand. You know it's leg. That's why you're ruining it.
Because you can't
bear for anyone else to have a little bit of fun. It has to be sanctioned by you at all times.
Unbelievable.
You knew it was a leg.
Most of the show's holding my tongue, so you boys can play around. Okay.
And we thank you for it.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Not as much as the listeners thank you for it. But yeah, he actually
get
hurt his leg.
If we ever let you unfurl.
And the manager talked about it like it was the most normal thing in the world. He said he just dropped his leg on the sofa and tweaked it. That's not an Xbox-related injury. That could happen any point.
Do you not play like this with your leg in the air like that?
Maybe he does.
Yeah. Don't blame Xbox.
Dropping your leg on a sofa?
No, exactly.
You don't sit on a sofa
like that.
Maybe
he was playing a WWE game and he wanted to do a Hulk Hogan leg drop.
Could be that. I
just think if you injure yourself at home, don't mention Xbox, because then you become the Xbox guy, don't you?
Just how I tweaked it, whatever, yeah.
I was going up the stairs. I was
having adventurous sex, just anything.
I can see how an Xbox injury might happen, though, if you're just essentially sat in the same position for about 70 hours in a row, playing the same game.
Was it Ryan Bertrand, I want to say? Might not have been. Someone around that era... And he was definitely at Chelsea, and I think he was from the South Coast. So I think it might have been Ryan Bertrand, who went there from Southampton, am I right to say?
Mason Mount.
Or the other way around. Oh, it was Ryan Bertrand. He was on loan at Southampton from Chelsea, and I think he was driving down, or being driven down every day, and he had a console set up in the back of his car.
Wow.
And he was...
That's, back of his car.
Yeah.
And he crashed it because he was playing
the engine. He was being driven, and I think he might have injured... I think he might start to get really bad hamstring injuries.
Right.
If it's not Ryan Bertrand, and you listen to this, Ryan, I'm very sorry to say that, but it was definitely someone.
Okay.
So it's happened.
Yeah. Well, speaking of England internationals, of Ryan Bertrand, which of course was one of them, let's move on to the England squad, shall we? Because there has been some injuries, as we know, a bit of disruption to poor old England, which goes in Malta's favour, you'd have to say. Duke Bellingham and
Malta. Lee, why are we always playing these Maltas?
That's disrespectful to a fine nation.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it?
Have you read Malta? Have you read David Niven's memoir, The Moon Is a Blue?
Is that the one where he eats a prized pear?
Peach. It's a peach.
Peach.
It's a peach. Have you read it as well, Jim?
I have, yeah.
It's one of the finest memoirs in history.
It's great.
It's incredible.
I take Jim's word for it.
The first half of it takes place almost exclusively in Malta, doesn't it? Where he's stationed there in the army.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the hijinks. But you'd love it.
Yeah,
some
I've been of the to hijinks. Malta as well. Have I thoroughly you? Recommend.
Okay, there we go. So
Billy Connolly used to live in Malta.
There
what
you go.
More recommendation?
There's your Holy Trinity. Connolly recommends it. Niven. And the best Bond of them all, Marcus Speller. Yeah. Speller, Niven, Connolly.
Yeah.
Sessions.
Scenes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at things that are happening in Malta tonight. The Folklore Dinner Show is happening, an evening of culinary delights.
We'll be in Horsham,
traditional.
Have you got a website that tells you that the event's happening all over the world
in
the evening?
Is that how much of a party somewhere else? You are?
Yeah.
That's why we never know where he is.
I mean, obviously, I love the Chamber of Mysteries dinner and show magic.
So you wake
event.
Up in the morning and say to your partner, right, where should we go tonight?
Where should we go? Malta.
Get the website up, petedawson.com.
Is that dry ice? Why did you put dry ice into the bedroom?
The amount of money you got to pay for a membership of that website, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's my Opta.
It is. So Jude Bellingham and Levi Cole will have withdrawn through injury, of course.
PS5 and Switch.
Wii. It's got to be Wii. It must get a load more injuries than the Wii.
It's the Switch now, isn't it? You'd play the same equivalent on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
There you are, you see. Harry Maguire, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Colin Gallagher are all doing their own programmes in the gym away from the rest of the team. Marcus Rashford and Calvin Phillips are joining up later in the week due to personal matters. So a bit of stuff going on. But you know what, though?
For the Enger boys.
This is pathetic. I love watching those social media clips of them all arriving, doesn't George?
Oh, me too.
It's something wonderful.
It just looks like them sort of going to like Water Valley for the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just seems like they're like off the clock a little bit.
I know what you mean. They turn up those lovely tracksuits.
Yeah.
And the man behind the camera is always delighted to see them.
Was it Harry Maguire who turned up for his debut with a bin bag?
Possibly.
That rings a bell. Stuff in a bin bag, and everyone's like, oh, isn't that endearing?
Yes.
But that must have been... What, 2017 would have been before the World Cup?
Quite possibly. Well, you know what 2 years ago to the day is? Aaron Ramsdale's debut for England.
Two years?
Two years to the day. And Colin Gallagher's as well, in a 10-0 win
against San Marino.
Remember it well.
So he kept a clean sheet. David Raya couldn't ruin that one, Jim.
Imagine if he did.
Yeah.
Right, well done. Half time comes around.
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
Southgate's managed to get Raya a British passport. It's, if it's whatever reason, it's all
worked out. Yeah, he walks back at half time, Raya's sat there with a top hat on, monocle.
We're just going to sit in behind you, Aaron. He'll give you some tips.
Got a roast beef under his arm.
Oh dear. Yeah, poor old Aaron. Yeah, do you see his dad has been popping up?
I mean, Jim, I've been looking forward to talking to you about this. I did sow a little bit of what we call in the spy trade, a bit of chicken feed in the WhatsApp,
right.
But you didn't snap it up. Can you defend this?
Yeah.
Shall I explain what's happened?
Yeah, please.
So basically, Aaron Ramsdale's dad, for some reason, appeared on a podcast, an Arsenal-themed podcast.
With Kevin Campbell,
that's right, talking about Aaron, his son's role at Arsenal and what's happened and basically complaining about Mikel Arteta's conduct and how he's treated his son, which, I mean, look, I don't want to kind of get between a man's relationship with his father because that's none of our business, but he is an adult, Aaron Ramsdale. He is a professional player, and it's almost, if it were me, so the way I see it and the reason I'm saying, like, jokingly, Jim, can you defend it, is that there's only two reasons this has happened. One, he's done it without him knowing, or two, he's given him permission. Mm. And if it's the second one, that's possibly a misconduct issue.
If it's the second one, it's a really high risk strategy that will absolutely sort of blow up in Aaron Ramsdale's face.
Hey.
We got to give him the benefit of the doubt, and we don't know where it's come from. So, you know, let's give him the benefit of that doubt.
But you'd be fuming though, wouldn't you, if your dad did it? You didn't know.
Absolutely. I mean, Bernd Leno's dad wasn't doing this when the same thing happened.
Not even Jens Lehmann's dad was doing it.
We all enjoyed Mitch Winehouse's album. All right.
Oh, Mitch Winehouse.
It's all
great.
A bit Mitch Winehouse for me.
It's a bit Mitch Winehouse, actually, isn't it? I mean, it's an emotion. It's an emotional thing for both of them, isn't it? Of course it is. But I do think there are far better ways to go about it, which is just to get your head down. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling really sort of emotional and devastated about it, it has to be a private thing. That said, what Ramsdale's dad is talking about is how nothing's been communicated to him.
Right.
And he's had to sort of conclude himself that he's now the cup goalkeeper and that he's not going to be rotated. And it's interesting that... you know, his dad says that is the case, but we've not been told it. It's like, well, if you haven't been told it, how can you declare it in the same way? But this was always going to happen, wasn't it?
I mean,
I'm surprised by the lack of communication from Arteta to Ramsdale about the situation. It's delicate, clearly, and it needs communicating. Maybe it's a test of character.
Well,
I don't know.
That sort of perceived lack of communication, as we understand it from Mr. Ramsdale, is something that Guardiola has been accused of one or two players, one of them namely being Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But so perhaps that, you know, he's learned a lot under Guardiola, so maybe that's it. I mean, when he says it hasn't been communicated, well, obviously it has been communicated somewhat, because it's not like they both run out onto the field and he's going, hang on, sorry, your name.
First one there gets it.
I understand that, you know, his point is that Arteta never sat him down and explained this. And I think that I just find this whole thing with Ramsdale intriguing, because this is a case of, you know, Arteta has signed a goalkeeper and he is picking him for this. That's it. I mean, perhaps because of the Arsenal documentary, because Ramsdale's quite liked generally, I think, his personality. I think that's why it is. Mm. This whole, you know, even some of the pundits and so on going, oh, I can't, this is disrespectful to Ramsdale. It's competition for places.
It's top-level sport.
I feel sorry for Ramsdale, as I would somebody else, but I don't...
Crucially, though, we can't corroborate what his dad's saying anyway.
Yeah.
And so this information is coming from someone who's got a vested interest in the whole situation and is clearly biased. I'm not saying he's wrong. He might be wrong, he might be right. What I'm saying is, that's not the point.
Mm.
If Aaron Ramsdale, who's a 25-year-old man...
Yes.
wanted to go on a podcast and talk about how upset he was, you know, we could debate the merits of that and whether it would force a move and all the rest of it. The fact is, his dad's doing it, which I personally think is odd, very odd for that to be happening.
Well, for me, it's a case of, if that was happening to you or your son or whatever, just say as little about it as possible, so it's talked as little about as possible, so you can get your head down. And if indeed, maybe at the end of the season, you think, oh, I'm not quite happy here, then maybe push for a move. Whereas now, people might start to question his temperament and all this kind of
stuff. Not jeopardised his role in the England setup, has it, Marcus, yet?
Well, I hope it may do, though. Gareth Southgate has said...
Well, he's in the squad.
Yeah, but he has said if he keeps not getting games, he may not be in the squad in the summer. So.
Gareth Southgate says a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, so which...
And does other things.
Well, no, okay, Luke and Pete, you're critical of Gareth.
Oh, no, Glasses off his stuff.
Shall I get some of fire out?
Mr. Spiller, it was Pete.
Yeah.
Grasped him straight up.
I assumed that.
Yeah.
So you've said Southgate says a lot of things. So which of the current England squad... who he's picked. Have you got a problem with?
Well, it's Maguire, Marcus. No, it's always Maguire.
So, hang on, don't are filling your own
into his trap. You're the pathetic one here, Donaldson. But I'm fucking entertaining this.
Turn on each other straight away.
So this is all a political statement.
So right, okay, what is it about picking the Manchester United starting centre half that you've got a problem with?
Manchester United aren't playing very well. Okay. They're
form team in the Premier League.
Oh, sharp. Oh, yeah. Donaldson, you start.
I mean,
we're supposed to be together.
Newcastle just... I think we've established that. That's not the game. Yeah. I mean, Newcastle just got beaten off Bournemouth, to be fair. You know, Trippier's in the squad. You don't have a problem with that,
I just say get Lascelles in as well.
There we go.
Oh, now you're going full.
How are you talking?
There you go, full Lascelles.
How are you talking?
Three weeks detention.
My answer was just going to be, I've not got a problem with any of them because basically every other English player is injured.
Right.
So by definition, they've got to be in the squad.
Are you pleased for Ezra Konsa getting a call-up?
Very pleased. I think...
Some might say it's slightly overdue.
I would say it is. We spoke about it, I think, a couple of months ago now. Mm. Said that, you know, he's been playing well for a reasonable amount of time. And
huge part of what Emery's doing.
He deserves a look because Villa have been absolutely fantastic this season. There's no argument against it. I'm pleased for Rico Lewis as well. The reality is that, you know, England are always in that difficult situation where they're not going to be tested against these teams. They beat, is it North Macedonia they're playing next as well? They beat them 7-0 already. They're going to beat Malta. They've already qualified, blah, blah, blah. It's good for those players to experience the setup, to be around it.
That's why Rico Lewis has been called up.
Absolutely right.
Give him a taste of the biscuit.
Because you never know when you need to rely on these players. And if they feel comfortable there and they feel like they know how things work, it's a much easier transition for them.
Well, it is. I mean, Jim, it's quite simply, if it sounds ridiculous, but you forget the human side of it. If a player has walked through the doors at St George's Park, if they've met people and all the rest of it, whether they've played any minutes or not, if indeed, as Luke says, in future squads they're called upon, it's just there's a bit more familiarity.
Absolutely. It's not FIFA, is it? You don't just put, like,
thank goodness,
you know, the statistically best players in a big lump and expect it to work. They're human beings. They need to sort of establish relationships. They need to gel. They need to feel comfortable. And it's a good opportunity to get some of these guys in.
Yeah, and that seems to be doing. Trent Alexander-Arnold said he watches clips of John Stones to help teach him play the inverted hybrid role.
Yeah.
And this comes after Hansi Flick reportedly showed, he's obviously not in charge anymore, but he showed his Germany players clips of John Stones as well.
Is that, the way you said that was like he's lost his job because of that. I'm not watching him.
That's an Englishman. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
I think
we've been proved over the years that the English have not shown a good example.
It speaks volumes, doesn't it? Because Stones is probably going to be someone, and we appreciate him now, of course. We know how good he is and what he's able to do and how versatile and clever he is on the pitch. And it wasn't that long ago where people were saying, you know, Guardiola would let him make his mistakes and he liked to have the ball at his feet. And those conversations have disappeared entirely now. Mm. And I think that's partly because the game's moved on slightly and we expect that from a lot of different players at the back now because of the way the game is played. But also because Stones has matured. And I think, I wonder with John Stones, regardless of what happens with England and whether they win anything or not, I think it's probably reasonable to suggest now that he's going to be, as we look back on his career, he's going to be probably one of the greatest England defenders. Yeah. I think, and I know he's moved into midfield and I know he can do a lot of different other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe just one of England's best ever players. He's got 70 caps-ish, I think, 29. You know, he's probably got 3 or 4 years at least at the top still to come.
I think we're starting to see now
he's an incredible servant for England.
Yeah, I think one of England's best ever players might be a bit much because in this side, he's not been one of the stand-up players. It's been Harry Kane.
What Luke's saying, though, right? With the benefit of hindsight,
yeah, we might start to feel
that he was a big part of the era that we've had. That's, you know, got deep into tournaments.
Would you say?
Well, I mean, I know you're going to have a go at me again, but it's been him and Maguire. In defence.
But would you say that? Maybe not best of it. In the era we can talk about because we witnessed it personally.
Defensively, England have been very good under Southgate.
Exactly. And you'd put him alongside, you'd probably put him alongside a Rio Ferdinand, a kind of, you know, a John Terry or whatever. He's definitely worthy of conversation in those kind of circles.
Yeah, because he's perhaps not as traditional as those players.
Yeah. And also I think there's a bit of a hangover from the earlier days of his career where he was associated with the odd, you know, clanger.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Perhaps Ferdinand and Terry and players of that ilk didn't have so much. And he's
shown himself to be a far more rounded player than a Terry or maybe not far more rounded than Ferdinand, who could play it as well. But Ferdinand, it would be a stretch to say that Rio Ferdinand, despite being good with the ball at his feet, could step into midfield.
Andy Brassel has made that point that when Ferdinand tried to do that, he got a bit lost, and that's no criticism. Yeah. You know, if your claim is I'm one of the finest centre halves my country's ever produced, but I can't quite cut it in centre of midfield, I don't think anybody's going to have a go at you.
No.
You know, but you know, with Stones as being coached by Guardiola, obviously Ferdinand was coached by some magnificent managers, you know, Ferguson being the obvious one, they didn't play like that.
No.
And it wasn't, it was a different era and all those kind of things. So perhaps he could have done under Gualiar. I mean, again, an intelligent player and so on and so forth. But what Stones has done has been brilliant. And we hope that he comes back soon from injury. You know, if Stones is fully fit and all the rest of it going into the Euros, you know, that's a huge thing for England, as he's shown before in previous tournaments. It's kind of what you're saying.
The only other player I can think of in that ilk who stepped into midfield and looked okay was Ledley King. And he obviously had his career cut short massively by injury. So that was almost what could have been rather than anything.
Leaving
else.
Eric Dyer out of that?
I probably am leaving Eric Dyer out of that at the
Dyer
moment.
Dyer stepped back. Jim.
He did. Yeah, all the way back.
Yeah, very humbly.
And into the crowd.
Yes, indeed. Well, talking of former England men, have you seen that Andros Townsend has been eating chicken's feet?
He has.
Yeah. So he said that he's trying to get every kind of little 1% more he can out of his career, Peter. And who knows where that could go.
You're maybe the chicken feet guy in this
room. I'm the chicken feet guy, yeah.
A lot of collagen in them, apparently. That's why he's doing it.
You have it quite a lot out in like China or something. I've had it in China.
He said China, South Africa and Portugal.
You can pull on the tendons and make the claws go.
Okay, that's appetising.
Is it nice or not? It doesn't look nice.
There's just not a lot of meat on it. It's not particularly weird, I would say.
I think the fact that there's not that much meat on it makes me think I wouldn't really fancy it. But from his point of view, I mean, he did say it's easy to cook. He said it's 20 minutes in the steam oven and you get it down,
He's basically stopped taking supplements and he's trying to sort of get the things you get in supplements elsewhere.
I'll see what you mean, okay. I'd love him to have his own cooking show where every single thing he does, he goes, it's 20 minutes in the steam oven, get it down. See you next week.
Andros.
Yeah, Andros.
Andros is beige food.
Same steam oven, same fucking steam oven.
Yes! He's got a lot of chickens just sat about in his
garden. Some of them got any feet.
Yeah. All of his double glazing, his whole leg just all steamed up because his entire house is a steamer.
Oh, dear me. Well, for more England chat, everybody, Luke and I are going to do a little England special, aren't we?
For tomorrow, state of play for England. Yeah. And we'll answer a lot of listeners' questions as well. We put a call out yesterday for listener questions about the current state of the England team, and Marcus and I agreed to talk about it. And we had, I think, over 300 questions. We probably won't do all of them.
No.
Because we've got homes to go to. Mm-hmm. But that will be out first thing tomorrow and one to look out for.
And we're going to be picking our what we think the starting 11 will be for England.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely right.
For the first game in the Euros against a team we don't know who it is yet.
So do look out for that, everybody. Right, let's have a quick break.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I know about the B team. I know some of the players. They have been training with me dos, tres, cuatro times.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. David Moyes there.
Yeah. We all do it. You just want people to understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think the dos bit was a bit silly.
I mean, I think that if you're speaking in fluent sentences and then you think I'll chuck in a few numbers.
People
they'll already understand it. They've got the numbers. That's
it was enough. A split second decision that lives long in the memory. What are you doing?
Just tucking my shirt. Right, I don't think people who quite clearly in that situation speak English as a second language fairly well are going to struggle with the first two or three numbers. In the pantheon of numbers.
He's just doing it. He's like a lounge singer. He's just chucking a few little ones out there.
Yeah, a little bit of chicken feed.
A little bit of chicken feed, yeah.
Chicken feed, not feet.
Yes, there is a difference. Gentlemen, last night on television, Howard Webb and Michael Owen were back in the habit.
Were they crime fighting?
Yes.
Was it a bit like Sharky and George, the crime busters of the sea?
Very much like that.
But Cassie and the Sundance Kid?
But they're on the land. Mystery.
Yeah.
They're on the land, Peter.
Boring cop. No. Actual cop, boring cop.
Yeah. Howard Webb's a good lad. He's a nice man.
Yeah,
Howard Webb. He's doing his best.
Jim checked himself there, to be fair.
Yeah, actual cop, bad cop. That's fine. It went down well on Twitter, didn't it? Michael Owen responded pretty well.
Yes, what was his response?
I think he called people absolute scumbags,
I think, Peter, you've got the tweet.
Yes, I have. Not on me, but I think he just called everyone absolute scumbags.
He said that he's trawled through thousands of really positive comments to find two or three negative ones, then write a story about it. Absolute scumbags.
Yeah.
Scumbags always have been.
Tremendous response, by the way. But in his defense, I think he's talking about the Daily Mail, isn't he? Who ran a story about how everyone hated it. And it looks like he's calling regular football fans scumbags.
So
I think he's actually talking about.
So you're asking to choose between Michael Owen and the Daily Mail.
I think Jim is. It's a very clever thing.
We're in the end times, aren't we?
Yeah.
No, you're right. I think that he wasn't just talking about the average.
What do you think about this? What do you think about the show, Jeremy? Is it a good idea? Does it go well? What do you reckon?
I think it's okay. I think it's fine. I mean, look, for those who didn't see it, they played the audio of the match officials who were mic'd up, of course, for some of the Premier League games. They reviewed, they did a number of these. The goal at Fulham for Manchester United that was disallowed. And the big one, of course, was that they reviewed the full VAR audio from Anthony Gordon's goal versus Arsenal. To me, actually, it gives me a bit of faith in the system.
It does it?
Yeah, because I just think...
I enjoyed the way Jim said that. Does it?
Mm? Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I think that's big and clever.
Fair enough, to make your point, that's fair enough.
Right, so... You realise just how quickly they've got to do it and just how quickly they do it. That one was quite an outstanding example. There was a lot of intricacies there.
Four incidents.
Exactly,
to deal with very quickly.
Did they not
Two of it? Which are sort of unprecedented with the visual aspects of not being able to see two of them.
Exactly. Did you not think that they whizzed through it pretty quickly?
Yeah.
So this sort of, we're all stood about for 4 minutes. And it's like, well...
Yeah, but... Yeah. But
that's not the issue with this set of incidents, though, is it?
No, but I would also say that they went with the on-field decision. You know what's quicker than 4 minutes? Oh, none of that. Just get rid of that.
Yeah, but
just get rid of the VIR thing.
But and that gets rid of the controversy, does it?
Yeah, but that TV show... Isn't gonna that TV? That's not that TV show's job, is it?
No,
that TV show
isn't
job. Isn't to go right. Here's what we shouldn't have VAR.
No,
it's gonna say this is what we did and why, and it's an effort at transparency. Mm, so from where Marcus is sitting, I think that's.
I don't disagree with Marcus
comment.
At all.
Yeah,
I think it was very quickly done. Yeah,
right. Okay,
I think the show is sort of doomed to be attacked by. Partisan football fans, isn't it?
Because they've got Michael Owen doing it. let's be honest, it's a quite a low percentage call.
It almost feels like trolling, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you wanted this, did you?
Yeah.
It took a while to get there, but yeah.
People, first of all, go, well, he's not even the presenter.
No.
And then they go, I don't like him either.
Do you know why they've probably almost certainly got, well, didn't have to be Michael Owen, but it was because he played the game.
Well, it's pretty, and also because he'd be contracted X amount of shows with that channel per season.
Quite possibly,
and they need to fucking bump it up.
Yeah. Look, the fact is, with all this VAR stuff, again, like, so what do you want to take VAR away? Well, again, that is going to reduce the efficiency of the refereeing. The one thing the refs say, which is quite interesting, is the players actually stop shouting at the referee because they're like, no, we're checking it.
Yeah.
It actually helps the referee on pitch for a few ways, of course. Again, it will reduce the amount of incorrect decisions, which was a very small margin anyway, but it will increase the anger of the fewer decisions that are made incorrectly. That's what it will do.
Mm.
And that's what you're going to have to live with. You can go back to the old ways, and that's fine if you want to do that. Come down, you know, into the Championship. Fulham will probably be there soon enough, and we'll have a lovely old time. But that is what we're dealing with here.
But I love that. That's your solution to anyone angry about VAR.
Get relegated.
Well, no, but in practical terms, that's what it is. Like, I know I sort of joke, but what there is no other solution.
Do you think it sort of creates different footballers, though? You know, that gulf between the Premier League and the Championship, not having it and having it, you become a slightly different footballer.
Because you have to play in a different way, probably.
You'd probably be a better footballer.
You have to be. You'd be more disciplined,
I think.
When they took when it first was rolled out in Serie A, I think there was a huge change in behaviour from players trying to do things off the ball. And therefore,
it probably makes the game better. Look, I never thought I'd be a huge proponent of VAR. And if everybody did decide to scrap it, and we thought, you know, well, that's what we're going to do, then fine, I'd go with that.
There's some unforeseen issues around it that we've touched upon, though. And regardless of the actual stuff that we're talking about here with the TV programme, the two unforeseen things, I think we're probably going to see an increase in injuries.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it in the context of Mickey van der Ven, didn't we, having to stop for so long and then pulling the hamstring. I think that's necessary. That's going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think we are also seeing far too much time being lost in the games. So it seems weird that the powers that be in football are saying we are going to extend games because we're going to put a lot more injury time on from this season, but they're losing even more from VAR, which they weren't losing beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs-Chelsea game, the big, most recent great example, I think, it was something like 27 minutes of VAR.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's not anywhere near good enough.
Yeah. Okay,
that has to be, you either have to stop the clock,
which
then has a load of other ramifications.
Yeah.
So if you only stop the clock for VAR decisions, you get far longer games in a game like that.
Mm. That doesn't help the players necessarily.
And it doesn't help the players, exactly.
The ball's in play for an average of 55 minutes in the Premier League, isn't it? Which I think is the highest.
They were trying to get it up above 60, which is why I did this thing.
So again, hear me out here. Like, I'm not saying VAR's perfect. I'm just saying that if in terms of getting decisions correct, then it has improved that situation.
Yeah, I think part of the issue, though, is that it's never going to be perfect. Is it? Nothing's ever going to be perfect in terms of, you know, getting all of the laws of the game applied perfectly every time. But I think there was an idea that it had been sold as a solution to everything, which it wasn't sold as that. But I think there is an idea from people who hate VAR where they're like, the whole point of this was we didn't have these issues and we wouldn't have all this controversy, but it's just not going to.
I'm personally proponent of the AI offsides because
I
just think it's one of those things that humans don't really have to do. So
it's
that would cut down
works.
On time a bit, wouldn't it?
That would make it quicker, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the offside thing, there's no coincidence that all these things we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Only what a small percentage of them are offsides.
Yeah.
The rest of it is
part of that big four decision, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was part of it, but not the main part of it. I wouldn't say.
Yeah. Well, indeed, I think that
telecomputer every decision is an offside decision.
Well, we know after the Spurs game, Ange Postecoglou came out and fairly, it was a bit of a defence of referees and saying, "Look, come on, we need to calm down a little bit there." About the weekend, though, Roberto De Zerbi didn't really say that. He said, "I am honest and clear, and I don't like 80% of referees in England."
Yeah,
specifically England.
The guy interviewing him, sort of trying to sort of break some of that tension, said, "Well, at least you like 20%. He just looked at him like, "Who is this prick?"
Yeah.
I just haven't
had Gaze referee by then.
Yeah. I really, really admire.
Ask me how I feel about post-match interviewers. Ask me the percentage.
I thought he did well there, whoever it was interviewing.
Yeah.
But yeah, De Zerbi didn't really kind of
doesn't help, does it? It doesn't help refereeing and the culture of refereeing.
Well, no.
But the thing is, there's now talk the FA might look into that.
Well, you can't have a manager saying that.
At the beginning of the season, everybody signed up to a participant behaviour charter to essentially stop stuff like this.
De Zerbi's not even looked at that.
It's never been worse.
No, he's not even looked at it.
It's never been worse.
I mean, as a player, would you? You know, we've seen, you know, Klopp's come out with some stuff. Now, I understand Liverpool were hugely wronged by that decision. We know
Liverpool
that.
Get games that aren't refereed by certain referees because it's
okay,
which is a massive problem.
But the response I felt was poor.
Yeah.
You know, Arteta and Arsenal have been in. I've had one recently where the response there has been criticised.
They've been in hot water.
Yeah, in hot soapy bubble.
They've been in Andros Townsend steam oven.
We've had De Zerbi there, and it's interesting. Like, I don't know as a player if you'd want your manager or you even care. Coming out with those kind of comments.
So I think that the best way of looking at it...
And we know Ferguson used to do this massively
exactly,
back in the day.
That definitely was the case. I think if you're a manager and you're a figurehead of the club and you are basically in charge of the football operations in terms of the public-facing side of it, I know these clubs have football directors and all that kind of stuff, but really these are the figureheads. I think you do really need to take responsibility. And I think if I was a player, I mean, I'm not a player, I'm a 43-year-old man, but if I were a player, I think I'd want... I don't know if I'd want the manager... to be saying this kind of stuff because it's an excuse for other things. Mm-hmm. But then having said that, we only see half the picture. We don't know what the manager's saying behind scenes. Yeah. I think behind the scenes managers, more often than you think, will probably have an understanding at the start of the season. Forget all that.
Yeah.
What we do in here is important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Mourinho has been doing that for a very, very long time. Oh, yeah. So it's hard to answer that without having the full picture of what's actually happening. They probably see the public-facing stuff as a necessary evil they don't pay an awful lot of attention to.
Interestingly, Declan Rice was asked about Arteta's comments and his behaviour after the game. And he essentially said, yeah, we love it. We're all behind it. We like his passion. And it wasn't necessarily like endorsing the criticism of referees and stuff. But it creates a siege mentality, doesn't it? And it is, they are going out and they're competing in every manner. You respect the opponent, but they are an opponent.
Imagine if Declan Rice turned around and went, "Yeah, I thought he embarrassed himself."
I'm waiting for the real manager to pipe up. Dale's dad.
Exactly. Who do you think is the biggest moaner in the manager?
Gary Neville. All right, sorry.
Well, it's difficult. I guess it's difficult because, like, if you are Mikel Arteta, there's just more. It's almost like a little kind of industry. People complaining about Arteta and not complaining about Arteta, and people arguing. Like
one incident is still going on.
Exactly.
There was a TV show about it yesterday. Can we get to the Newcastle game at the Emirates?
Right.
With it coming up every week until.
Well, that'll be the thing that overshadows it, isn't it?
It's going to be massive, isn't it, when that game happens.
Gary O'Neill's not been happy this season.
I think De Zerbi's is known for being spiky about referees, isn't he? And hair.
Only 80% of them. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but that is a lot of them, though, isn't
that
it?
That's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's an underrated moaner.
Yeah, I mean, De Zerbi, underrated. Arteta and Klopp have got to be in there as well.
I think De Zerbi's more just a bit unhinged. And it manifests itself in that way, but I think he's generally just a little bit out there.
Yeah, because I would like to see him plonked in a tent in a post-match after a game they've lost.
Oh, yeah.
And Suella Braverman just whips it off.
Says lifestyle choice next.
Good riddance.
To answer your question directly, Marcus, because these two cowards didn't.
Thank you.
At the moment, I would say it's Arteta.
Do you think so?
But it ebbs and flows.
Because Guardiola's not really a moaner, is he? He can do, but again, I think he's like De Zerbi. He's just a bit.
It's a bit basic for Guardiola, the moaning.
It's part of a lot of his. He's got a very wide repertoire. Isn't he? Moaning is just part of it.
He wouldn't moan when he can. Why would he moan when he can just set you a riddle?
He's like Nathan Redmond.
He's like a football manager. Choose your own adventure book.
That's true. Yeah. Eddie Howe's not much of a moaner, is he, Peter?
No, I don't think he is actually.
No, who do you think he is though? Come on.
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Klopp can say one thing, Arteta can say one thing, and you've got 3 weeks of chat about it. Mm-hmm. But like a manager of, like, I don't know, like Forest, for example, they've had some pretty pretty good reasons to be quite annoyed recently for VR and stuff, and they've found a situation where the manager doesn't really he's got bigger problems.
Steve Cooper has a moan.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I mean, respectfully.
Nobody cares.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
You just assume they didn't play well enough.
Yeah, they just don't. And no one knows enough because casual football fans don't watch Forest as much.
Yeah, well, and that the way...
And they're the tricky trees.
They are the tricky trees,
Trying to trick the referee all the time.
Indeed, yeah. I'd like to see Roy Hodgson square up to the monitor at some point.
Just cock his head.
The bar monitor.
Just cock his head.
like one of those cameras you put in a bird's nest. To see if the young are okay.
Imagine that,
he's been slagging off the young, isn't he?
He has, okay.
Imagine if Sky Sports News said, "Oh, we're going to exclusively go to Crystal Palace's training ground," and it was like a photo of the nest. And Hodgson was just regurgitating stuff for the young players to eat.
Heads absolutely spinning.
Well, it's not just in England, of course, that there are VAR problems. In Brazil, after being denied a penalty and having a man sent off after just 8 minutes away at Grêmio, Corinthians director of football Alessandro Nunes tried to storm the VAR room in the stadium.
It's
which
amazing.
Is,
he went all the way to Uxbridge at Stockley Park.
Well, no, this is why we have it at Stockley Park. Brazil, what are you doing having VAR at the stadium?
It was like a sort of WWE backstage.
It was,
segment.
Yeah.
It was
a bit of a brawl, yeah.
So angry.
Jim, you watch it and you think, well, this is obviously not real. And you kind of go, oh, no, this is the director of football literally trying to storm the VAR room.
Did you see the red card decision that he was really angry about?
Was Suarez involved?
It was incredible stuff. I'll get it up. But this was the red card that he was annoyed about.
Yeah, I mean, it is
absolute leg breaker on it.
It's a red card.
It's you know, like how like the red wavelength is like the longest one.
Yeah,
like it's the longest red I've ever
seen.
It's
a beetroot red.
It's the reddest of all of the red cards.
Purple card.
It's Pantone, just the word red coloured red card.
And it's worth pointing out that Corinthians are one of the biggest teams in Brazil.
It is outrageous.
It's not like it's a league.
No.
And then the manager turns on, and then director of football, turned on the cameraman. Don't you take that down.
That was superb, wasn't it? He's like, you're filming. It's like, we've already got it.
It's like, already
not
done.
Understand how this works. Yeah. It's not live.
Do you reckon he was just like, I hate all cameras? It's not just VAR. I hate all cameras.
I'm against lenses. Yeah. I don't even wear contacts.
For me, like, the thing I'm fascinated by is, if you do get into the VAR room,
what's the plan then?
Yeah, what's the plan?
Draw me own lines.
I'll draw some lines.
He's got a freeze frame where he's colouring in the red cards with yellow. It's a booking.
I love the fact that they had two security guards on the door who like clearly managed to restrain him, because he went for the door and then he was a bit like, and then he turned around and was he trying to find another way in? It was
shocking. Got a white vest on like John McClane and Die Hard.
It was piss poor.
Come through the air vent.
Yeah.
Shoot the glass, it's coming.
Unbelievable. Did you see recently the Corinthians goalkeeper Cassio went viral for allowing an indirect free kick to go in this
Galaxy
was
stones.
So basically
so good.
The team they're playing against were ordered the indirect free kick about 35 yards out to the side, and the taker of the free kick whips it in, it goes over everyone's head, and I think the goalkeeper's not sure whether it's going to get a slight deflection or not. Obviously, it doesn't, but he doesn't know until very, very late on. So he just jumps out of the way and lets it go in.
Yeah.
Then the other team start to half celebrate, and he just picks up the ball, puts it down for a goal kick, and he's away.
Lovely.
It was galaxy brain stuff.
It was super.
It was great. And basically, what we're talking about here is ultimately just a player knowing the rules of the game.
Yeah.
But it's still very
quite
impressive.
Rare, isn't it?
So rarely. Indirect free kicks are such a strange thing.
Yeah. It's called Cassio as well, which is a great name.
Ideal.
I very much enjoyed the manager just sort of like hitting his heart and going, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God.
manager subbed him off. What are you doing?
Now, this was a fascinating one. A chap called David Nicholas sent me this. Speaking of those kind of very, very odd rules in football that people might not know. And this was featured on The Chase with Bradley Walsh. Do you know what happens in the unbelievably rare occurrence? In fact, I don't know whether it's ever happened. If you have a direct free kick and you score an own goal from it, which is obviously like, how on earth are you going to do
It's a corner,
that?
Isn't it?
It's a corner.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's taking the laws of the game, because you can't get an advantage. You shouldn't be able to get an advantage from the other from being penalised. Basically,
yeah. So again, like
it never comes up.
Well, it's almost a
hang on. So if it's, can you explain?
So
that
you've
again?
Got a, you've got the,
I've got a free
you've
kick,
got a free kick on the edge of the box, right? England have got a free kick.
Yeah.
And let's say, you know,
why are you bringing England?
Yeah,
in?
It's always England.
All right,
World Cup final.
Newcastle are in the World Cup final because the Saudis have managed to arrange it with FIFA.
1995.
Right. Okay. So it's not Kieran Trippier. It's it's Philippe Albert.
Philippe Albert.
Philippe is about to take the free kick against Manchester United, right? Yeah. And he turns around and thinks, do you know what? We're already 5-0 up. I'm going to bring Shaka Hislop into play. So I knock it back to Shaka so he can have a volley or something.
Okay.
And he knocks it back and it goes in his own net.
Right.
It's a corner.
Wow.
to Manchester United.
I've heard that before.
So what's
and Marcus saw it on The Chase.
Yeah.
So that's the sources we're using.
There you go. Yeah.
We could get battered online if it isn't true.
Yeah.
No, it is true.
Okay, but Marcus is...
It's on The Chase.
Yeah, it's on The Chase.
Trust The Chase. That
Big
is
Boy
source.
Barry, whatever his name was.
Who was the chaser on that episode?
I forget his name, but he got it right.
Who's the guy who killed the man in the canal?
That's CJ from Egghead.
Sorry.
I don't think he thinks he might have killed a man.
That's Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam, right.
He managed to put in another guy from a different quiz show back in the day who went onto the news, didn't he? It was on the front page of the newspaper.
His book, was it?
Suspected he may have pushed a man in the canal and he drowned.
I think he was just surprised that someone had read his book, to be honest. Who's buying that? Who's buying even one copy of CJ from Egghead's story?
It's a very sort of negative note, a horrible note to finish on. So I want to turn our attention to a man who fell into a canal and actually got out alive, Jim Campbell.
Hello. Yeah. Wouldn't recommend it.
No.
But there was ultimately no harm done.
Yeah.
How deep was it?
I was quite lucky. I only went in up to my waist. You don't know what's in the canal on the floor, so I was lucky
shopping
I didn't
trolleys.
Get some
we do, shopping trolleys,
typhoid infested
old Mausers
spike.
But you came up with an eel though, and you had a bit of jelly deal later.
Yeah, but it was an electric one, so I did flash, and you could see my skeleton.
Yeah, and that's why we now call you Blanco.
Yeah, Blanco.
Blanca.
You didn't know you had that in, see?
Blanco is the footballer for Mexico.
Yeah, well, I was thinking Benny Blanco.
From the Bronx.
From Arsenal. Yeah. I see, silly me. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join myself and Luke tomorrow for our Wee England special, of course. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. If you're not signed up yet, get over to our Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes. Also, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, which is still called TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much. Lots of love, everybody. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, James Campbell.
Thank you.
Lots of love, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.